In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is so good to see all of you here at Christ Church today, on this day. This morning, all of the streets were blocked by the police, and the blockades were all up, and lots of people decided to stay home because of the fear of lingering violence, but we also had just a full church this morning because we want to be in church. Yesterday was a terrible, terrible day for Charlottesville. And so I hope this evening that I will be able to address that and bring to you a message of hope and a message of comfort. But first, there's a segue here. I want to talk about church architecture, because you probably think that you are sitting in the sanctuary of Christ Church, but in fact, you're not. You are actually sitting in the nave of Christ Church. So the nave is the central part of the church that runs from the narthex through the doors, if you came in and that down toward High Street, all the way up to the altar rail right here. And inside of the altar rail, you'll have the chancel and then the sanctuary. So why is the main part of the church where you sit called the nave? Well, it takes its name from the Latin word navis, meaning ship or vessel or boat. And that's, of course, the derivative of navy in English. So you may not have realized that you've sort of come aboard when you walked in to Christ Church today is to sit down in your pew, but I'm sure you've noticed this, and if you haven't, just look up at the ceiling, look up at our roof. If you've, you know, what does it look like? The church architects of Gothic architecture designed the vaulted roof to look like an inverted keel of a boat. That's what it is designed to look like. And the reason for this is the Gothic church architects weren't yachtsmen, but early on the church identified itself with a boat or a ship. As early as the second century, the church saw itself as a ship tossed on the sea of disbelief. Church saw herself as a vessel tossed on the sea of worldliness and persecution. The church understood herself as a ship, a vessel meant to, in the end, reach safe harbor with its cargo of human souls. And also, a boat was a really useful symbol during the times early on when the persecuted church needed to disguise the cross, because of course the mast in a ship forms a cross. There are two main scripture references for the church as a ship. And the first is early on, it's Noah's Ark, which is, I guess, an obvious one. Frederick Buechner, who's a witty and writer and theologian, says the resemblance between the two, the church and Noah's Ark, is really worth thinking about. He says, in one as in the other, just about everything imaginable is on board, the clean and the unclean. They're all piled in together, helter-skelter, predators and prey, wild and tame, beautiful and ugly. They're sly young foxes and impossible old cows. There are the catty and the piggish and the peacock proud. There are hawks and there are doves. There are wise as owls and silly as geese, meek lambs and fire-breathing dragons. And Buechner says, as one might imagine for Noah's Ark, it's not all enjoyable. There's backbiting, just like everywhere else. There's a pecking order. There's jostling at the trough. There's growling and grousing and bitching and whining. There are dogs in the manger and old goats and black widows. It's a regular menagerie in there. But then Buechner says this, even at its worst, there's at least one thing that makes it bearable within. And that is the storm without, the wild winds and the terrible waves. And at its best, there is, if never clear sailing, shelter from the storm. A sense of somehow heading in the right direction, in spite of everything. A ship to keep afloat, and like a beacon in the dark, the hope of finding safe harbor at last. The one thing that makes it bearable within is the storm without. As I said, yesterday was a terrible day for Charlottesville. All the storm blowing without, of course, blew directly around where we are sitting in the nave of Christ Church today. The disbelief and worldliness we have experienced in this weekend's rally and violence, and in some cases response to the rally, has, as you know, put this downtown block at the center of the world's attention. I'm sure, like you, I mean, I receive texts and emails from all over the world with people so anxious about how we were doing here in Charlottesville yesterday. And it is enraging and frightening and deeply unsettling to all people from all across the spectrum, the doves and the hawks alike. And after, I'm sure you saw this quote, the torchlit pop-up rally on the lawn Friday night, the ever-measured, deeply respected Larry Sabato said that he had never seen anything like this in his 47 years with UVA, and that the lawn was in fact in need of an exorcism. So, in my opinion, that storm without makes it not just bearable within these inverted keel shape of Christ Church, but life-saving, life-giving. With the storm without raging from all sides, I mean, never is it more crucial for the nave of Christ Church to be a sanctuary, a safe place. As Bob Dylan sings, try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come on in, she said. I'll give you shelter from the storm. The storm is blowing without in the other scripture reference for the church as a ship, the one that Casey just read tonight. In that gospel, we read that the disciples are in a boat. They are, quote, battered by the waves. They are far from land, and the wind is against them. Now, storms, obviously, are nothing new. Storms of all kinds. Storms outside, storms within us. Because each one of us has a private catalog of storms that makes us feel battered, makes us feel far from land. Sometimes those private catalog of storms go public. To be in the world is to be subject to storms. During seminary, a retired Navy commander used to say to me and my friend Drew in our ordination process, he said, I wish you fair winds and smooth sailing. And wouldn't that be nice? Big fan of that. But of course, life does not cooperate. So like the disciples in the boat, like the disciples in the story, we are desperately in need of Jesus to come to us walking across the water. We all need Jesus Christ to get into the boat to take the helm. Because if Jesus Christ isn't at the helm, well, then we're all sailing on a ship of fools. If Jesus Christ isn't at the helm, we're all sailing on a ship of fools. Before he gets in, Jesus, to take the helm, the disciples see him walking on the water and they think he's a ghost. Jesus assures them, saying, "Take heart, it's I. Do not be afraid." Peter, with his usual Peter bravado, says, "If it's you, then command me to come to you on the water." And he gets out of the boat, he takes a few steps, and then down he goes into the swirling waves. It's then, you see, that he cries out something that we need. He cries out something that is true. He cries out something that is real. He cries out something that is universal. He cries out the very thing that you and I need to cry out in the face of the battering waves, in the face of the prevailing wind. He cries out the one thing that I want you to remember from this sermon this evening, the one thing that is the true recognition of our human predicament, and yet at the same time, the true recognition of God's mighty power. Peter, sinking down, sinking down, sinking down, as we sing in that hymn, sinking down, cries out, "Lord, save me." Lord, save me. It's a prayer to pray night and day. Lord, save me is the right response to the storms of your life. And I'm certain of this. Lord, save us is the right prayer to pray in Charlottesville, Virginia this evening. Jesus does save Peter. He comes aboard the ship of fools. And when he does that, the winds stop and the waves recede and the storm dies down. And then they sail presumably to the other side of the sea in peace and calm. But since we in life are subject to storm after storm after storm after storm, peace and calm don't last, and they certainly don't last for the one at the helm. Jesus' answer to Peter's plea, "Lord, save me," you see, is only temporarily answered by his strong hand lifting Peter up out of the drowning waves, taking him aboard the safety of the wooden ship. "Lord, save me." Is only finally and fully answered, not in the wood of the boat, but on the wood of the cross. For Jesus saves Peter, he saves you, he saves me, Jesus saves the world by not saving himself. So, Sunday in, Sunday out, year in, year out, decade in, decade out, for this church now, centuries in, century out, with the storms within, and the storms without. It is always life-saving to come into this nave, settle into your birth, and hear once again the word that never, ever, ever changes, which is the word of the gospel for all people everywhere. Jesus Christ died for the sin of the whole world. On the wood of the cross, death and evil and hatred are defeated. And on the third day, he rose again from the grave to take us to safe harbor at last. So, Lord, save me, we say. Come on in, he says, and I will give you shelter from the storm. Lord, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.